adjourn, start with a roll call.
Jerry Allen, Modusum Alterc is excused. Terrence Bailey.
Here.
Carl Baker.
Here.
Jamie Brown.
Here.
Anthony Catalina.
Lorraine Cargill.
Natalie Crowley.
Mike Morrow for Natalie.
Kim Delaney.
Tom Lanningham for Kim Delaney.
Thomas Driscoll.
Here.
Elizabeth Issa. Javier Falcone. Eric Ferguson.
Here.
Alex Hansen.
Here.
Kara Irwin Ferris. Jeff Livergood.
Here.
Meher Mansour.
Here.
Christopher Marsh.
Here.
Khursheed Mahayadin.
Here.
Richard Reed.
King Glasgow for Reed.
Khalid Shamoot. Maria Tahara is excused. Kenny Wilson.
Here.
Mayor Patel. We have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
All right. Staff has informed me that item 3A, the Okeechobee Boulevard Corridor Study, is before the agenda. Are we looking to postpone that to a future meeting, the next meeting, or we, what is the pleasure? Do we know?
I believe that will be coming back at a later.
Oh, the other point, it actually should have been a mobility study. It was meant to be the mobility study, not the Okeechobee Corridor.
Okay, so we need to correct the title to mobility study. So we'll postpone that. We'll receive a motion to approve the agenda with the amendment for 3A removal.
I make a motion.
Second. Motion has been made, properly seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. We have item C, the minutes, the December 6th meeting. Alex, you see anything?
You're doing fine so far.
Just go around.
But motion to approve the minutes for the December 6th, 2017.
I second.
All right, motion to debate, probably second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Comments from the chair? I will yield the floor to Jeff for 30 seconds to talk about something about college we asked
him. Not a chance.
All right, nothing further. The liaison report.
All right, long time to see everyone. Welcome back. So, just run through a few things. This is a friendly reminder. March 2nd is the application deadline for the Transportation Alternatives and Local Initiatives programs. You'll see two upcoming workshops / summits, the Human Services Transportation Summit, which there is a flyer in front of each of you all. And there's also a website link if you want to look at that and get more information and see if that's something of interest to you. And then there will also be a Complete Streets workshop on March 14th that will be held in this building. We'll be sending out an email to all of you with a little more information on that soon. Just a reminder, on the TPA's website, there is a page of upcoming conferences that's continually updated, so if you all want to peruse that and see if there's any conferences out there that you all may be interested in attending. Lastly, as a reminder, this year the TPA Governing Board is doing a roadshow around the county. The meeting next week will be held at Palm Beach Gardens City Hall. And for a list of all the locations, for those of you that do attend the meetings, the website is provided. A link to the page is provided on here.
Just a quick note on one of the settings. Florida Bicycle Month, we in West Palm Beach are working on doing activities for what we call Bike to Work Week, which is going to be in the week of March 12th through the 16th. We have been in coordination with the TPA, and we're developing a series of events and activities for that week. So.
Yeah, and I should have noted that the link to bikepalmbeach.org will have a calendar of events that are planned during March, so that would be something that.
And can we just send those to you for events?
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That. All right. Move on to F. Any comments from the public? Don't have any comment cards. And I don't know that I see too much public. So we will move on to item 2A, the action item. On safety performance measures from SHWA.
And Andrew Euler, the presenting this item.
Good morning, everyone. I'm the TFP coordinator, and I'm also dealing with a lot of performance measures, so you'll be seeing me up here talking about the other performance measures in the coming months that have to go to our board for adoption. I apologize that this slide that you've got in your packet is a different direction than what you're going to see on the screen here. So some new information came to light at the MPO advisory council meetings for the state this past week about setting targets. So that sort of changed the trajectory of where we're headed with the recommendation. So we can discuss that more in the presentation. Back to performance-based planning. So this has been around for a little bit since around 2012 with the MAP 21, moving ahead to progress in the 21st century, requiring DOT and MPOs to start to monitor required performance measures that were established by the federal government for federal goals. Has the MPOs and the state establishing targets, and then also the MPO either accepting those targets or making their own targets, and then having an annual report on those progress of those targets. So when it comes to safety measures, these are ones that we'll be analyzing, evaluating annually, and then reassessing our target for the coming year. So in this case, we're looking at 2018 targets. You have to doubt. When we come back in a year, it'll be for 2019. And just a background again on what performance-based planning is, it's basically linking our data and our systems information to our outcomes. So how well are our projects really improving the system for all of our goals? So here are all the different performance measures and the target due dates. So you can see right here, safety, it's due pretty soon here, so we'll be adopting hopefully at the board to meet that due date, and then we'll see system performance, bridge condition, pavement condition later on this year. Also intertwined with those are planning requirements that we have put into our documents regarding all these measures, and then asset management plan and freight plans at the state level. So when it comes to safety, what are we doing already? Well, this has been our vision, a safe, efficient, and connected multimodal transportation system. So safety has already been a priority for our TPA and also at the state and federal level. So really nothing too new for us here at the TPA. And then here's are the precise measures that we need to integrate here at the MPO level and then also at the state. Number of fatalities, the rate of fatalities per 100 million vehicle mile traveled, number of serious injuries, and so serious injuries are those that are incapacitating injuries, the rate of those, and then the non-motorized fatalities and non-motorized serious injuries. So these are all the ones that we need to set targets for. The data flow, where this data really comes from, is really more sort of top-down when it comes to cleaning it up. So law enforcement's reporting this into the system for Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles, and then, the state safety office is actually looking at that data and cleaning it up, and then they are geolocating those so we can use those on a more granular level. And then all that data is provided to us annually so we can look at it and evaluate it as well. And then FDOT is really the ones who's reporting to the federal government. So the federal government's not going to come down on us not meeting our measures. They're worried about FDOT not meeting their measures. What the federal government's really going to do for us is ensure that we're incorporating all this into our planning documents and meeting those planning requirements that we have with our usual reviews of our organization. But when it comes to the actual measures, they're looking at FDOT's results. So the proposed safety performance target. So this is where it differs from what you provided in your packet. So originally, we had, well, I'll just tell you what the FDOT one is first, Vision Zero. So if you've heard of Vision Zero before, it's the notion that all lives matter, right? So zero fatality. Any fatality or serious injury should be avoidable. So their goal is, and their vision, is zero fatalities and serious injuries for 2018. So that's their target. And they'll reevaluate that target every year, but really they're going to stay with that zero vision zero target. So that's going to be going to 2019, 2020. And then our recommendation is made up of that, so that zero fatalities and serious injuries for 2018. And then, as I mentioned, it's going to be updated annually. And originally, in a packet, and what we provided to you was, since we have the upcoming 2045 LRTP that's being kicked off and on its way, we were trying to fit our zero fatalities and serious injuries into a longer range time frame of all the way to 2045. So, the recommendation from FDOT and really the Vision Zero is to go with the Vision Zero at the MPO level as well. I'm going to go through some of the trends that we've seen historically. So this is data that we've received again from FDOT, and it goes back to 2006 all the way to 2016. That 2017 data really takes some time to, I just saw in that process, to go through and clean. So we'll probably get that, well, I guess I say April here. So most likely be completely finished by April of 2017, so we'll have those updated numbers. But I didn't want to show you at all what that number looked like, because right now it's not even close to being finished. First one you see is number of fatalities. So the 2016 value of 181, and you can see 2015 with a similar fatality rate or fatality number as well. And then there was a decline in the fatalities earlier on, historically, because we had a recession, so less people are driving on the roadways, leading to partly due to that, a lessening in fatalities. So again, that zero, the target for 2018 would be zero. It's an aspirational target, as we see.
Is this all roads in the county, or just the state roads?
These are all in the county, yes. So this figure right here is actually, well, get into it too much, but it is include all public roadways and private property ones as well in that number. Serious injuries, you can see the data here going back from 2006 to 2016. That five-year rolling average that you see there is just a way that you can kind of see the trend a little bit more. You see it starts at 2010 because it's five-year rolling average for the past 5 years. So you're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. So that's where that's started. So that's a combination of all these 5 years. Value, 1129 in 2016, and then the target, 2018 is zero. And then,
sorry. Does this include pedestrian, bicycles, and vehicles?
Correct. Yes, okay. Correct. So this total right here is included in all of those, not just ones in a vehicle. Good question. Yes.
Andrew?
County did fatality query just about 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
In 2016, the 181, the good news in 2017, they went down to 115 or something, so close to just about a little bit more than 100. And that includes the bicycle and the pedestrian fatalities all up.
Oh, wow, okay. We said 115?
115.
Okay. That's a...
Do you guys track the crashes on the turnpike and 95 in your database?
No.
So
you're missing the state. You're missing the roads in your database.
And just another thing about fatalities is the most accurate data usually doesn't come in for a few months, because if you're hospitalized and you're still in there, you happen to pass away later on. You're not going to be counting until later on. So that's why that number sort of gets updated a few months after the end of the year, even when the crash occurred. So hopefully it doesn't jump too much higher than what Geary just mentioned. It'd be nice to have a better year there. But also to note, I didn't mention this earlier, I should have, on all these measures, we have a zero target, correct, for a recommendation. This is more at the state level, but here, because they're the ones who have to report to FHWA, but if you meet your targets, meeting your target means either meeting this target or having a reduction from the previous year. So we still technically are in compliance at a state level if we have a reduction from the previous year. So, and you need to meet at least 4 of your 5 targets. So here's rate of fatalities for 100 million vehicle miles traveled. Same thing, so you still see a dip here, so there is some other, I haven't looked into research more. You would think with rates, since there are less vehicle miles traveled on the roadway, that you would have also less collisions, but that would make sense for the total. But you wouldn't think the rate would go down too much, but it did go down. So there's other factors leading to a reduction there outside of this VMT, which is interesting. But rate of serious injuries as well. And you can see those numbers 1.3 and then 8.1. Again, 2017 not available. And then this VMT number comes from the state as well when those numbers are released. And that's released around April. And lastly, this is just the count of non-motorized fatalities and serious injuries. So this is this number right here is also included in the total fatalities and serious injuries that we saw in the two previous slides. But just to note out, if you looked at 2016 for the total fatalities and serious injuries, it's around, where were we? 1129 plus 181, so 1200 or so, a little more. And if you look at what we have in 2016, around 200, so that's roughly 15, a little bit more than 50% of the total fatalities and serious injuries. And you know, they're not making up the total amount of trips even close to that, right? So vehicles are picking up a lot more of those trips on the network, so it's disproportionately being impacted by our pedestrians and bicyclists will be disproportionately being impacted based on how much they're actually using the network, which is kind of interesting to know. Again, target zero. So what are we currently doing to sort of meet these targets? You know, we've already been having safety as a goal here, a priority for years. But some things recently, our plan documents, again, incorporate an LRTP safety as a goal. We have a complete streets policy and design guidelines and the pedestrian bicycle safety study, trying to get some of those projects going. And you can see those hot spots here, just an example of sort of the data we're getting in. And then programming, so safety is one of the criteria in the local initiatives and transportation alternative program. And then monitoring, so the CMP monitors some of those facilities and link facilities and bike network and sidewalks and all that, and some other measures that link to safety. And then we have the bicycle and pedestrian count program, which really monitors bicycle and pedestrian activity, so we can make programming decisions off those. And then how do we get there in the future towards our Vision Zero recommendation? What we can do now, cannibalize road maintenance projects. So that's a pretty powerful word there. That's what Nick put in there. So basically, not cannibalism, but when you cannibalize, I had to look at the definition of the dictionary before you up here. So basically taking parts from, you know, one piece and putting in another machine. So in this case, you know, having your road maintenance products accomplish other tasks as well. So striping enhancement, crosswalks, designated bike lanes, and marking conflict areas. So those are, you know, only really require paint on the roadway. And so just instead of just smoothing the roadway, trying to provide other safety measures. And I know the county has, and some cities have started to do that. And so hopefully we can keep doing that moving forward. Some other ones that might require a little bit more funding and timing, but construct missing sidewalks and bus facilities, relocate bus stops. So those are things that we've been working on. Improve street lighting, implement complete streets. And again, that's something that we sort of accomplish here with our federal programming, the local initiatives and transportation alternative process. And then in the future, so this is something that you know, we recommend in Vision Zero, which is very aspirational to accomplish, since we've already had, you know, fatalities in 2018, so we've already not met that. But trade-off there is sort of to create a Vision Zero action plan by 2019. So incorporating all the types of policies and design considerations that we can come up with in a year's time, which is really going to be kind of an expansion of our bicycle pedestrian safety study. I think that would definitely help it and serve as a basis. So we just completed that. But trying to get to there by 2019 with this Vision Zero action plan.
We got a question?
Since Nick's not here, I can say I'm not a big fan of the word cannibalize.
Okay. Maybe he would have explained, you know, use it more.
Perhaps leverage.
It seems so strong. Perhaps leverage.
Leverage. That's good.
So wait, when you use that word, the goal is to, as opposed to just doing a simple project, you're going to have to kill a couple lower priority projects to take the funding and upgrade higher priority projects to have the safety measures that you look to fund. Because you're assuming you have a program, it's funded for a baseline. Money's not going to fall out of the sky, so someone's going away to create more money to add on to the existing scope on the projects that remain. The cannibalism is the right word. You're eating your own.
Or taking part of a piece of somebody or something.
Well, we're all species.
Not if it's just paint. It's lost. Not if it's just paint. You're just adding a little bit, changing the striping plan and incorporating capacity into the project. So.
But there will be a scope change and there will be additional cost. So that money's got to come from somewhere, which means some project's got to die so the rest of us can live.
Reprioritize?
Cannibalism.
Hey,
if he wants to say cannibalism.
Yeah.
Not as shocking as
word.
I think
Lever's
just
going to
get one.
I got one else.
Okay, so the last one was to support an innovative technology, and I think that's going to be hopefully a good focus in our LRTP for 2045. Kind of tough on the grass, but I think we can do it in that update.
Question. In the data set that you have, is there any socioeconomic data attached to the crashes and fatalities?
No, it's just... Oh, you mean the actual... Yeah, so the breakdown of, like, age...
Of the victims?
And victims,
yeah.
Yes.
I mean, because at the State Street Summit, we heard a pretty powerful discussion about inequality. So
okay.
We'd be breaking that out by socioeconomic, all the different factors you can imagine. I think you're going to find a serious disparity in a correlation between lack of investment and fatality and injury in marginalized communities. I think that's the way that the speaker's kind of, the nice vernacular that I like to use. By not doing that, we'll just start throwing money all over the place evenly, and that you'll still have gross disparities in these marginalized areas.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to create a plan, you kind of want to go to the hot spots first, especially in those marginalized communities, and get, because that's where you're going to get the most bang for your buck.
Right.
So to see that data parsed out might provide some better insight to how to create a plan that can be effective immediately.
You have places that aren't even at the baseline. You have other places that are. From a design standpoint, you add money to both of them.
Right. Well, that's the...
That's the boxes that drawing that the one person...
Equity versus equality, right. Something
mm-hmm.
That one.
Yeah.
There are actually several reports, national reports, that point to the... you know, what he's talking about, the classification, where we're at with, you know, social classes, equity, and transportation. And I think that should be incorporated as part of this. Maybe narrow it down to Florida. It
would be a great thing for the 2019 plan to pull that, show that,
right, and maybe guide some of that, right? That effort. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That'd be interesting to see for our county.
I mean, there'd be some additional processing, because the crash reports only contain the age and gender of the person. So you'd have to link crash locations to the census, you know, the incomes, but
yeah.
The crash reports aren't going to have the income of the people.
Yeah, I don't know if they have race in that or not.
Again, you can tie it to, you know, general data on that area.
Yeah,
you know,
census
data.
Incomes, that'd be a good analysis.
I think you're going to see a corollary between the socioeconomic spread. You don't have to be race. That's why I didn't use race. I said socioeconomics.
Okay.
I think you're going to see, as you get into the strata, you're going to see heat spots in those lower income areas.
The heat map tracks pretty well. I mean,
right.
The slide you had earlier,
sure.
Just look at it.
Yeah. Right.
And I think our bicycle plan has some of these breakdowns already. But
I think it does overlay it with some sense.
I think
of
age
at
least has it in there. But we'll look more.
Tom's got a question.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think if you go back, you already have the data. You don't really, I don't know that you need such. You can see where both of your accidents are right there, so you don't really have to scratch your head too hard to look where you
that
start.
On the poverty map of the county.
Mm-hmm. And actually, I think, I mean, I seem to recall some of this was generated. There was the Kim Lee Horn study that was working on some of these things, and they did have some socioeconomic data for those geographic areas where these hit areas are. Actually, I do recall some maps linking those two things. So it was some of the areas where with the lowest car ownership, some of the areas where some of the lowest incomes in Palm Beach County were precisely those areas, for the most part, where those concentrations happen.
And then the Kimley Horn study that worked on the pedestrian bicycle safety study that we just adopted last year. So I think that'd be a good basis for that upcoming Vision Zero action plan. So definitely.
That data was there, I recall, Rich Presley. I mean, Lakewood Road and Military, and some of the areas where you see some of the worst cases, they had those maps showing a lot of socioeconomic data for those areas.
And I think I have, this is the final slide. Again, the recommendation. So FDOT has a zero fatalities and serious injuries target by 2018. And then our staff is recommending supporting the FDOT target of zero fatalities and serious injuries.
I'm a little bit confused or troubled by the 2018 target. I saw the document that you sent. I know you had an original target zero for 2045, and you had an intermediate target, which again, I mean, you need to do a lot of things, especially in the situation in that we're in. I mean, where you have 1,100 plus serious injuries, 181 deaths, to go from that to zero overnight. I mean, it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, there has to be a serious effort with policies and plans and a number of changes for us to go from those massive numbers to zero overnight. And I understand it's coming from FDOT, and just like, come on, I mean, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. It's not just going to happen, well, we woke up on January 1st, 2018, and all of a sudden everything changed. I understand having aggressive goals, but at the same time, let's be realistic and objective. I mean, that's my trouble. And I understand it's not coming from the MPO, it's coming from Tallahassee, and I'm not blaming Yannick for this stuff. But it's like, come on, let's be serious and realistic, because as you pointed out, you already have not met the goal already, because there have been serious injuries and fatalities in the 40 days that we have had of 2018. So, and again, this has to be part of a plan and an effort. It's not, okay, now it's zero and everything changed overnight. And that's kind of my broader concern with all of a sudden having this unrealistic and goal or target.
Yeah, I don't know how many are serious, but the town's traffic engineer, he comes here as the alternate, C.J. Lant, he's actually studied the county's data and done really quite a bit of work. And I think it's about, if I don't quote me exactly, but I think the number is about 45% of accidents at intersections are rear-end collisions. And he actually correlated that to a change in signal timing on the all yellow and all red. So that seemed to have some, that what they call the dilemma zone. So it seemed to have some impact on that. So he's been working on that. But obviously you could reduce a significant number of accidents if you just reduce rear-end collisions, which, by and large, are almost all avoidable.
And automatic brakes are coming standard in cars in a few years.
That's pretty safe.
I think that the city of Portland came up with a report that pretty much pointed to something that we kind of all aware of it, but we really don't put our fingers into it. And that is the fact that we're about 80% of the accidents occur at 10 intersections in the city. This is a big city. This is bigger than Miami. And if we all kind of look at our cities and try to prioritize our funding, I think we'll find that it'll make the greatest impact in some of the intersections with the greatest number of accidents. And I think that should be part of the Vision Zero strategy.
So this is an action item. So you need a motion to approve what?
Recommendation to approve our target, whatever the target may be, for 2018, for those five measures. So,
it's zero for all of them.
Correct. These are the required safety. These are the required safety force measures. So,
performance
the staff has zero for all five things. The meat is the same as FDOT's Vision Zero.
Are we required to be the same? Because you hear Alex's consternation over an unrealistic goal that's...
Yeah.
starting to fail.
Yeah. Well, you did give the caveat that only as long as it goes down.
Yes.
So it's a goal that's not a goal.
Cross our fingers. Again, not sure.
If we elect to go with a different number than the DOT, are there ramifications?
So this is a good question. So
that's if I.
And you had. I mean, again, the documentation that we received last week, you did have a 2045 goal with an intermediate target. So
right.
I thought that was way, way more realistic than a zero.
So the language just states that when you're adopting a state target, you're basically stating that you're going to be programming your products to meet their highway safety group program, right? The highway safety planning documents. If you're adopting your own target at the MPO level, you're supposed to evaluate the data and then adopt your own ways of meeting the goals or the target. So from a program perspective, I don't know if there's too much difference in how it may play out either way. And on top of that, if we don't meet targets at the state level or our level, I'm not sure it would be much of an impact to us either way, either. Because the federal government's ramifications for not meeting your target is your highway safety funds need to be ensured that they are 100% allocated towards meeting your highway safety improvement program projects. Right now, I think FDOT, and maybe you need to help me if I'm wrong, but your highway safety funds are going to be required to go 100% towards meeting those highway safety program projects. Right now, FDOT kind of uses a little of that money to go towards Safe Crossing Schools program, which also improves safety. So I don't know if FDOT's really siphoning off funds from that federal pot of money for something that's not already a safety project. So I don't know if we're going to have much ramifications at the state level if we don't meet the targets. I don't know if that's...
I haven't heard anything about that.
So
Tom was next.
Programming-wise, I don't think at the MPO level, part of why that we would have an issue.
I think that, as you say, it's an aspirational... I don't know if it's an aspirational goal or vision, but the Vision Zero is certainly a, you know, great long-term vision, but I agree with Alex.
There goes Nick. Somebody grab it.
That it should have some interim goal or part reduction, because obviously you can't go from 189 to zero. It would be nice, but it's not realistic. A long term, possibly 10 or 15 years.
Well, let me go to Mike and Jeff.
I think the premise is great, but as long as it's not tied to funding, I don't see that, you know, they're going to come in and say, stop, here's, you know, you can't do anything, so.
What are the best practices or the what are you seeing in your sister agencies?
What
are they?
Zero.
Zero?
For the most part, yeah.
That's pretty consistent from one TPA to the other.
And I'm not sure if that's anything changed at the MPOAC. Before, it was predominantly Vision Zero targets for 2018, I think. There may have been one or two other MPOs that were trying for a 2045 target as well for zero, but predominantly Vision Zero.
Great, Kim.
Well, you know, as the speaker said at the Safe Street Summit, you know, no deaths were acceptable. That's why they said, what with the Vision Zero, you know, what are you going to do? Say eight and say, oh, I'm sorry, family members, you're within our acceptable range. So
there's,
you know,
a political element,
yeah,
to saying that we're going to just accept 180 as cost to do a business, and nobody really wants to raise their hand and say, yeah, I said yeah on that. Which, again, at the state level, I'm sure that number's gargantuan, and none of the executive DOT want to raise their hand and say, yes, we're just going to, it's a cost to do a business and moving freight and people, a certain number are just going to die.
But just really quick, because even in New York, which was the case that they were speaking, they had a target of zero that was, I forget the time, 10, 15 years into the future. So it wasn't yes, they would like to have zero today, they acknowledge that there has to be a series of policies And there's a plan for those policies to become effective for them to reach that final goal. While that, yes, they would like to have zero deaths and serious injuries today, they did have a mid-range, in their case, target date for the actual shooting. I've seen the document because we in West Palm Beach have been working on trying to implement some official policies. So we have some of those examples in New York, to Seattle, to other ones. It wasn't, hey, yes, overnight we're going to have zero. It was always, there's a time frame and we have a specific plan on how to achieve it.
All right, Jamie, and then we're going to London.
I was going to kind of bring up what Kim brought up. For the one or two MPOs you mentioned that didn't do the zero, like, did they actually give a number of acceptable fatalities? Because, like you mentioned, there's really no, it should always be zero. So it's kind of weird. So even when you're saying that, you know, they had like a target 15 years out, did they give an actual number? Like in 5 years and 10 years?
Yes, that's interesting. I mean, even the documents, the MPO documents, they had, what you're talking about, a 2025 interim number?
20 or 30.
Interim number, so you had, a plan and a program on how to lower those numbers over time. So there is interim numbers. Even going back to Sweden, I mean, they had interim numbers. Yeah. They still haven't, their ultimate year is not, it wasn't 2018 when they started 10, 15 years ago. It was actually beyond that. Again, the fathers, the grandfathers of Vision Zero.
So there's right, motion. We got a motion. We need to go with what they've recommended, or someone's got to craft something else.
I'll make a motion that we go with the recommendation of zero. My purpose for that is, I think we all know that we can do something different, but to do anything otherwise puts the full board in a tough position.
Second.
You got a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, we're just giving it 3B, upcoming project list.
This will be, this is more of a FYI type item, so it should be pretty brief. But in your packet, you'll notice there's a list of a significant number of projects. And this is updated quarterly, so we wanted to do is start sharing this information with you all so you're aware of when to expect these projects to come forward. There are four columns, so scope review. This is, so the MPO receives it at each of the municipalities or county. Any project within your jurisdiction, you will receive a scoping form, so you can highlight any issues you may be aware of or any things that you would like to see included in the project prior to any of the design work. Then the subsequent three columns are basically the 30, 60, and 90% design plans. And these, if you're signed into the ERC system, Electronic Review Committee, you'll see these projects coming forward. And these are all different stages and opportunities to provide input and comments on projects. What we added to what DOT provided was this last column called Fiscal Year 19 through 23 Priority List Project Descriptions. It's a number of the projects included in the list. Our project's on the priority list, so we included the description so you can anticipate what to see as part of those projects coming forward. So, again, this is updated quarterly, so we'll be providing this as information for you all to keep you aware of what to expect.
Great document. Could we ask to get something similar from the county? I guess about a year and a half ago, we talked about exactly what we just finished in the way of discussion. The county comes into your municipality, they do a mill and overlay, you know, on their schedule, and A, they don't really tell you they're coming, so it's a lot of traffic interruption, and B, you say, well, I would have given you the $10,000 to do the safety, because I know it's not your scope or your price, but I've got striping money, you know? And we had that conversation, and it kind of started, and then we got a list that turned out to not be the real list, and, you know, I know that because I had a project, like, this project's not on the list you gave us 3 months ago. Oh, well, you got the wrong list. And I had that in my city where, well, I mean, it's not on the list. I have money for that. I would have done differently. So if we could get back to that place where the county, the big road projects, large capital, most municipalities get some notification, but the mill and overlay program that they're running, that kind of just pops up without a lot of notice in advance.
Sure.
So I think that would help. Back to the you know. And municipalities need to just concede to, you may need to keep a pot of money that you're going to throw at it for safety. Back to your point, well, everybody's got to put in a little in order to make this work.
And I share that concern. In our city, we just got a notice for a minimum resource program in Congress Avenue, which is owned by the county. but it was just like 2 days ago. And we and the city are interested in making Congress Avenue a complete street. So we're working very heavily in advancing that from Atlantic South to the, you know, Boca Raton city limits. But this project that the county is doing is north of Atlantic. We would gladly dump in some money there to make it geared towards a complete street effort. But we didn't also send that.
I guess I'll hand back there.
Yeah. Just wanted to comment on the list that you were talking about, the road construction or these surfacing projects. There is a list that goes around, and then there is also a potential list even prior to hitting the roads. Just wanted to know if there is a way we can share that information. Is there, are we talking about a process where that list can be shared?
I would hope that if you send it to the staff, they'll send it to all of us, and because almost everyone who represents the municipality is very interested.
Affected by
it. Right, and you know, even your if you have your main list, the projects that are funded, and the potential list, so that at least we can spend some advanced time, you know, coming up with looking at options. You know, we may want to say, hey, you know what? I want this now. Here's some money. Go do it. You know,
that's easy to do.
Isn't that in the 5-year road program, which is on the web?
Actually,
the resurfacing is not named streets in the 5-year program. It's just it's a pot of money, typically. It's just however many hundreds of thousands or millions you're going to do in resurfacing, but it doesn't say street by street by street. It generally doesn't get that granular level of detail.
Or we'll do something about that, and we'll send you, send the MPO the list of all the projects that are scheduled.
Tom?
Yes. Well, I just have a question. Are you representing Palm Beach County Engineering down on the TAC committee?
My name is Gary Chirikunta with Palm Beach County Traffic. Filling in for Mo Halker today.
Okay.
In the process, if in case any questions that I feel comfortable answering, I would gladly answer. And the ones that I don't, I'll take them back to you.
So Mo is obviously, I'm sorry, and I thank you, but I think, Mr. Chairman, that we should, as a group, talk, and I think a lot of the issues that we have, similar to Xavier's comments, and it's not issues, but just coordinations, I tend to think that other than just the traffic folks, someone else from Palm Beach County Engineering, like the deputy or the assistant, should serve on this committee with us so that some of these issues and concerns that don't just overlap traffic operations or signalization, that overlap construction and maintenance, can be heard.
We have roadway production, and so you may not get. I just lost the new city engineer, county engineer's name. You may not get Mr. Briggs. You may not get Tanya, but head of roadway would be the more appropriate. They're doing the program. They're laying it out. They're deciding the roads and priorities and things like that.
Well, that's roadway production. That's Omi Fernandez, and I've never seen him at this meeting. George used to come, and I know they're busy, and I'm certainly not suggesting Dave Ricks, but I think that somebody that understands the umbrella of county engineering and what they do, other than just the traffic ops, to come and represent the county.
Sorry.
Is good. Not only in a bad way, I mean,
they're just operational issues that are roadway and striping that are not just signalization. I mean,
just like that. I mean, they're looking at doing complete streets. We've had resurfacing projects, and look, we're happy to see the county come and resurface. I'm joking because it's rare. So, you know, when they come and actually fix a road, we're happy. But I'm kidding. But seriously, I mean, some of that was we asked them in one instance to look at restriping. We never got an answer back. They came out and did the project and basically put the striping back the way it was. And so we missed an opportunity. And there's a lot of instances like that. And I don't know, maybe we'll just simply go to the county separately. But I mean, there's a lot of engineers in here. There's a lot. We've got Palm Beach County Planning. And again, traffic ops is very important. Dan Weisberg, I think, you know, used to serve, and he was on this committee. But I just tend to think that someone that understands everything the county engineering organization is doing, and maybe this roadway production, would be good to have on this committee. Thank you.
So make a motion requesting Nick to have a conference with county administration to get an appropriate representative. Would be set on what you're talking about?
Not to exclude Palm Beach County traffic operations, but to add to.
So is that a motion?
That would be, could be a motion, yes.
Well, you can make a motion at any point. If one of the members wants to make a motion requesting our executive director to talk to the county administration, it just needs to be put in a motion. See, I can't make motions.
Okay, I make a motion along with Terrence just said.
Can I second the motion?
I'll second.
Yeah, I think, okay, you
I'll second.
Well, it's right. For discussion. I think it's best to let Nick do it first as a request rather than a formal motion. And if we don't get anywhere, put a little more teeth behind it later.
Well, the motion is for Nick to just go do it. What happens after that is...
Because we can ask him to do it, I think.
The motion is just Nick go down there and talk to somebody.
Just going back to the point of coordination and review of these resurfacing projects, I sat on the Bicycle Greenway Spallet, now Bicycle Trailway Pedestrian Advisory Committee for a number of years. So the two previous, not the last one, but the one before, the BiPED coordinator for the MPO, I know one of the tasks that we discussed, he used to go periodically to County's Roadway Production and find out all the resurfacing projects, get those plans, or try to get those plans. He wasn't always successful. To then discuss what bicycle pedestrian safety opportunities were available in those plans. So I know, now we're discussing just presenting it to the MPO, which is fine too, and then disseminating that. But that was a concerted effort from him then he would discuss it, and then oftentimes he would try to bring it to the committee just to discuss what bicycle and pedestrian safety opportunities the committee, the BTPAC, had with regards to those projects. So that could be another opportunity from a kind of county-wide perspective. I'm fine if it is county engineering sending it to the MPO and then disseminating, but that was a more concerted effort of actually looking at the plans and discussing different bicycle and pedestrian safety opportunities in those resurfacing projects.
I think that is the same to be correct.
Can I offer a friendly amendment? The county give a presentation on their upcoming resurfacing projects and how they're implementing complete streets. Can we request that?
Can we do that in a separate, because they're related but not, yes. This is a pretty clean bill right now. So, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, now we can go forward and receive another.
That we request county engineer to give an update on their resurfacing projects and how they're incorporating complete streets in the projects.
Second.
All right, motion to be made, Tom, the second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Do you all get ERC notifications? Just curious.
Well, remember, ERC typically goes to your engineering department.
Right.
So a lot of planners are in here, probably not in the ERC process with the DOT.
Yeah. Some of us are, and ERC is also FDOT, right?
Right. Goes
to the
ERC. Probably doesn't have a similar ERC type
process.
COT
type, right.
I do get it for DOT. All
right. There's a hand.
I just want to say one thing for informational purposes. So, during the TIP process, before we have that approved, we got requests all those local projects from you all. That includes the road program from the county and also their infrastructure surtax list. That includes resurfacing and bridge projects. So the staff puts those in the TIP and maps them out. So if you were to go on the GeoNav website, you look for transportation improvement program projects. All those projects are also on there. It's not as easy to navigate through the TIP to get to where are all these local projects. They are under the other FDOT and local project section, but they are all in there, and we try to make sure we update when it gets approved by the county commission.
So the resurfacing projects is not just a bucket of funds, because I was under the impression that decision is made pretty real time, because you got roads that just deteriorate because of changing traffic patterns, and they may go pull money and go resurface it or fix it. It's not like they have the resurfacing programmed out 5 years, street by street. I was understanding it was more funding bucket quantity, how many dollars you're going to throw at the program. Because we've never seen a five-year rolling list of resurfacing in the 3 years we were talking about and asking for it.
Okay.
Just to confirm that it's not just a placeholder for funding versus these are the roads we're going to do in the next 5 years.
No, I'm sure any plan is the same. That's what we're talking about. Planning ahead.
Okay. The list I've seen for the infrastructure surtax, I'm not sure if you're doing part of that one, but that was more of a recent list, and those go out more than 5 years for resurfacing projects. For line. So
when the county comes and explains it, we'll be able to ask the question and get a good answer, hopefully. All right. City summary points from December 14th.
Those are attached for your review at your leisure.
Member comments?
Any sports comments, I would defer to the gentleman from Purdue. He deserves to vote.
Or Philly. Any Philly fans?
We're a little over here. It was time.
All right, next meeting is March 7th. If nothing